in the building. Walls to floors, Mr. Saltzman, is not life safety. You should know that as a developer or whatever you are. With no vertical support, it's just another place for the building to collapse and pancake. It's kind of stupid to do the parapets and the walls to the floors if you're not putting vertical supports in there. Ask Amit. The cart is before the horse on this whole project from the beginning when Novick started it to now. Even when it got to you, we were told by Carmen that at the policy commission we would be heard. We haven't been heard. You've just been driving this forward, just like as with this meeting supposed to start at 10:30 and starts at 12:30. And on the May 9th meeting, all the false numbers and detailed reports that you guys put in that meeting, all the crap numbers, even you said they were crap. And then you are still going forward with this without pausing to look at what's going on here. You need to stop the rush to resolution in the amendment. You need to listen to your policy. They said no placarding. They also had no consensus whatsoever. The only consensus they had was on the October 4th meeting where they voted to just go for parapets. But the chairman of the committee threw that vote out, and they had five illegal closed meetings that the state meeting laws for public meetings will be a legal option for you in the future. So ethically, you should look into that.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Vic Savara. And first of all, I'd like to commend all the commissioners. I heard what happened in the morning. I was listening to that. And I commend all of you for keeping your cool. That outburst was horrible. Okay, I own number 3-4 buildings. And I just want to make sure that the working committee, which you have proposed, okay, consists proportionately of the people who are impacted. It does not matter. It is not good to have one person who's a URM building owner to be the representative when 80% of the URM buildings are number 3 and 4. So I hope that the new committee which you have formed, which I'm very, very glad that you are doing that, because the old committee was just horrible. I was there from day one. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
For the ticket.
Thank you for all being here. Appreciate it.
Next three are Paul Daigle, Lindsay Levy, and Robert Hunter.
Thanks.
And they'll be followed by the last three, John Hollister, Angie Even, Roger Jones, actually four, Kathy Rogers is last. So right now we're looking for Paul Daigle, Lindsay Levy, and Robert Hunter. Come on up. Okay, let's go with John Hollister, Angie Even, and Roger Jones. And then the last person will be Kathy Rogers.
All right, great. Good afternoon.
Hi there. My name is John Hollister. And first off, I wanted just to check with all of you to see if you'd done your homework and read The Color of Law.
Okay, I'm like three chapters in, I confess.
Okay, all right, did you read?
Looking for the tie.
Did you read the little tie things I had marked?
Nicely annotated, and I appreciate that, including with tabs and dots.
All right, okay, good.
Very impressive.
We got that one done.
Slightly ADD, but very impressive.
Yeah.
I'm also making my way through it and actually proposed to a room full of big developers in Portland that they read it with me.
Yes.
So
it's
spreading.
Good. And it very much addresses the issues that were brought up for people earlier here that talked about being included in these types of proceedings. I have told a lot of people to have total trust in you, and the people who will be right after me as far as sharing, I have told them to trust you. You have proven to me with you meeting with the people last night that you are a man of integrity and you want to do the right things. And bottom line, you were handed a mess. And the And what you're trying to do is to look at all angles of this thing to say, hey, what is a path out of this thing to where I can be respectful of safety and respectful of small business owners and all these various things. So I trust that you will do that, and I trust that the processes will go in that way.
Thank you.
I have told them. The previous commissioners that were that supported this. Actually, the 1994 actually is when it started. There was a good code, but one of the things that Portland seems to have an issue with that we all know is implementation. So the code was good, and so 23 years later, we just haven't implemented it well. So we're looking at a lot of things. So you talk about the 15-year time frame; it's so far out. Well, there's 23 that went by that will have poorly implemented code. So we're faced right now, and we're looking at putting placards on 1,600 buildings for people not to go in, and we have these 10-year-old kids that might be living in them someday. But these 10-year-old kids are now going to go home to their house that they live in that is a URM building, because there's over 100,000 single-family homes where these 10-year-olds currently live, and they'll go in their house. So we're not really looking at the whole issue. If truly safety, why aren't single-family homes looked at this as well? And the argument was that, well, those are personal residences. Well, those people are citizens as well. So it's a much bigger problem. I like the amendment that you put in with regards to looking at things with nonprofits and with churches. But those are tremendous size organizations of where people are going to be. So the fact that if we do have an earthquake in 15 years and we gave them a break and said they don't have to do anything, well, at least they died with a good cause. And the whole thing, it's the same thing with Class 3 and Class 4. Let's look at these things. Let's look at what happens afterwards. That's where we need to plan, is after this happens. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Angie Even, and as you know, I've been working on this for about 22 months. I've read every document. I've went to every meeting. I've went to hundreds of talked to hundreds of people, went to community meetings, neighborhood associations, business associations, and I have gotten a real pulse of the city. Everyone learns and understands this issue, understands both sides. One, that safety is important, but two, putting the onus of these costs on building owners is going to be devastating to our entire communities. This is what I think, this is one of the most consequential decisions I think City Council has ever had to make when it comes to land use, gentrification, and social issues within our city. I had to write some things down because we weren't told that we were going to testify, so if you could just bear with me. I'd like to start with the truth. The city failed to notify owners. It has been the owners who have notified the owners. We also know that the mailing list has over 300 addresses that are invalid because we got your list and those mailings came back. The end of this policy calls for a certified letter once you mandate these buildings. The city owes the building owners to receive a certified letter that they own a URM, because we did not know that until we found out about this project. No resolution needs to be passed to further study these issues. If the purpose of this vote today to advance the resolution of the proposed mandate without any provision for feasibility studies, for studies of impacted communities or affordable rents, I'll leave that alone. If I could just say two more things. Roof retrofits are in the code. And once you take them out of the code and mandate them, even if it's in a timeline, you have now created a new unfunded mandate. If you look at the cost that the cities came up on May 9th, the roof retrofits and the roof replacements are the most expensive part of this, the phasing. It's front-loaded, it's not funded, and I don't see anywhere where anybody is worrying about that. It's not maintenance. It is a mandate once you attach a timeline onto it, and it's an unfunded one. And I'll just say this last thing. Unintended consequences are no longer unintended if you know about them.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Mayor Wheeler and City Council, I'm Roger Jones. This morning at 8 o'clock, the Hawthorne Boulevard Business Association met to discuss this issue and other things of very high importance, including design guidelines, which we're adopting to restructure all of the losses that we've had with buildings built without the kind of context that we love. Because our main street is a main street. It's a place. We have a sense of place. Today's Wheeler 2 amendment sidesteps a most important issue, and that is that after 25 years of experience with City Code 2485, we have come to the conclusion, as you guys have come to the conclusion, it is not incentivized, and that's why 95% of the buildings are not in compliance with 2485. That's a serious, serious hole in the process, and I hope that in the future it will happen. The other issue that is most that changes with the amendments are the timelines. The timelines that exist have already, since 2 years ago, 25 months ago, you all, the city, adopted the unreinforced masonry database. That unreinforced masonry database has been scraped by the banks. It's been scraped by the insurance companies. It's been scraped and put into the conditions that now, of the 40-plus buildings on Hawthorne, they can't get a loan. They can't get a loan. They can't affect these safety issues that we would like to be able to do. We're all about safety. We're trying to help. Please keep those two my items, and if you can, take that thing down. Take that defective URM database down until we get it right. It's wrong. It's got a lot of problems.
Great. Thank you, all three of you. Appreciate it.
And the last person is Kathy Rogers.
Hi. Try to be brief since
greetings.
I'm the only one standing between the vote. First of all, I'd like to thank you for, I believe you guys have really considered the proposal that was given to you. I think the proposal from the committee had a lot of holes, and the work is not complete. So I appreciate you stepping back and taking time to look at it. Specifically, I'd like to address the three new amendments, because my understanding is that's what the testimony is supposed to be on. First of all, on the Saltzman, regarding the placarding and the tenant notification. What? Was that Fish?
Saltzman 2.
Sorry. Okay. I believe that needs to be discussed with any new committees that you're putting together. I think that the placarding has potential unintended consequences, primarily for the small businesses. So I believe that needs further discussion. I support Wheeler 2 and Wheeler 3. I think that, as you've seen here today from a lot of new people that are here and what you've heard before, is that a lot of key stakeholders, building owners, tenants, business owners, nonprofits, religious organizations strongly feel that they haven't been part of the solution. So I would strongly encourage involving that community. I think we've all got great ideas, and hopefully we can come up with something. I also support tying any new requirements to some level of funding so that we can actually pay for this. And I'm not sure if I said my name for the record, Kathy Rogers. I would love to be involved in those committees moving forward.
Great.
Thank you.
Kathy, we'd love to have you, and Elizabeth will snag you on the way out.
Thank you.
So thank you, everybody. Excellent testimony. And again, thank you for your patience. That concludes our oral hearing on these amendments. I'd also like to close the written record at this particular time. Is there any further discussions on the new amendments before we take our votes? Very good. Carla, could you please call the roll on Saltzman Amendment number 2, please?
Fish.
This amendment directs city staff to develop a placarding ordinance and to return to council within 3 months for review and adoption. If we don't get it right, I know we'll hear from the community and we'll get it right. So I think this is a reasonable measure. I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I do think, as I said in my remarks when I offered this amendment, this is a fundamental right to know that tenants deserve. And we have that information. It's incumbent upon us to make sure that our public has that information, too, so they can make informed decisions. Informed decisions by informed citizens are the best thing we can be doing in the city. And there's no need to committee this thing. There's no need to committee a placard language to death. That's why we stole San Francisco's language, by and large. I'm sure they had a great process. They probably spent a lot of time on it. Let's take advantage of all the work they put into it by saying, this is the placard language, this is the size of the placard, this is the font, this is where it needs to be. And so I am hopeful we will adopt that ordinance 3 months from now and have it in effect by March 1st, 2019. Aye.
Hugh Daly.
Well, I want to thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for bringing this forward. If you hadn't, I would have. This entire conversation is complex and thorny, but this is the clearest issue for me. Every tenant and occupant has a right to make an informed decision as to whether they want to live in a URM, and denying that information to them is not reasonable. So thank you as a renter, and thank you on behalf of renters who are living in URMs. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for this discussion. Thank you to everybody who's here today. This, like the others, directs the staff to come back with a resolution, with an ordinance. So this is directing further work. I believe that everybody who goes into a building should know, and that if it's only in the tenant agreement, the visitors are not going to know. And so the mayor pointed out to me that the university club upon 6, is it 6, has had one of these placards. I've been in and out of that building multiple times, had not noticed the placard, and yet it is important for people to make informed decisions about whether or not they want to go into these buildings. And so I support developing the language. I know that we will hear more at the hearing to consider whether to adopt the ordinance. Aye.
Wheeler.
I strongly support this amendment, and I'm appreciative of Commissioner Saltzman bringing it forward and doing the research in terms of what is being done in other municipalities. And Commissioner Fritz just pointed out one of my favorite URMs in Portland is the University Club. Every time I walk by it, I'm very, very impressed by it. No, I don't think they'd want to have me as a member, probably, but I love their building. And there's a couple of placards on the outside, and one day I thought, well, maybe it tells me something about the history of the building or the architecture or something else. And I went up and looked at it, and it's actually a notification to their membership and to their guests that it is an unreinforced masonry building and has not been seismically upgraded. And they did that as a courtesy to their members and to their guests many, many years ago, as I understand it, and it has done nothing by way of dissuading people from being there, but it just gives them additional information that, as other commissioners have noted, I believe people have a right to know. So I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Could you, Carla, please call the roll on Wheeler number 2?
Fish.
I was going to spend part of my remarks lavishing praise on the mayor for this one, but since he's already learned today that a place in heaven has been secured because of his Third Amendment, I think modesty requires I tone down my remarks because we have to work with this guy going forward. I just want to acknowledge the work of Jamie Dunphy on my team, who worked very effectively, Mayor, with your team. Kristen et al. There were a number of people, but I want to just thank you for that. In wordsmithing Wheeler number 2, I think this is a good compromise. It's the basis upon which I withdrew my amendment. And I think it gives us some breathing room to see whether we can address the problem that I've identified for some time, which is the cart before the horse. And I also have a couple of recommendations for committee members that we will share with both you, Mayor, and the Commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Development Services. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaley?
Well, thank you, Mayor, for incorporating my request that we make sure that financial experts are included on this committee. Aye.
Fritz?
This amendment is why I'm going to be able to support the overall policy, because otherwise I was going to vote no. I don't think we should be moving on Class 3 and 4 without a financing mechanism. I respectfully disagree with Commissioner Saltzman that we heard testimony from lots and lots of individuals at the previous hearing and again today that we have to have the financing options, and we'll get to the nonprofits in the next amendment. But I want to stress the urgency of finding the financing. That to me is going to be whether or not I'm going to be able to support it coming back. So we've had a lot of discussion about what should the regulations be. We still have some things to discuss on that. What we have to do is to look at how are we going to help people pay for them. And it is people who are going to pay for them. I do think that part of what needs to be done is to update the historic resources inventory. There are many buildings that we should be preserving as a public benefit, and there should be then public investment in helping to preserve those. There's others that, frankly, might be better demolished and something else built in its stead that would be safer, more habitable, and having inclusionary housing in them. And I think that that has to be part of the discussion too. I know that's not part of this vote, but I know that the mayor shares the concern of updating the historic resources inventory, and I think that should be part of the solution. Let's figure out which are the really special buildings, and let's figure out how to pay for them. So thank you, Mayor, and thanks to Commissioner Fish also, who's worked on this amendment, and particularly thanks to Claire Adamsick on my staff, who has followed this intensively. Aye.
Wheeler.
This amendment really was shaped by many, many people. In particular, the majority of my colleagues on this council have worked with me to help shape it. I'm appreciative that it's a group effort. I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Carla, could you please call the roll on Wheeler number 3?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaley.
Aye.
Fritz.
So I'm really sorry that I didn't reach out to you before. I should have realized, why are the churches and the other nonprofits not here in the community at the last hearing? Earlier today, we had Thomas King lauding the mayor for his outreach efforts and the inclusivity of his staff. And the fact that there wasn't intentional outreach is a failing on behalf of the entire council. And I'm sorry. I appreciate the applause, but I really don't deserve it. I should have thought. And I appreciate that you are here, that you stayed long after the appointed time to make your points, to have your voices heard, and correcting a problem in this entire process. So we have made some progress on equity and on the way we think about things. This speaks to me that we have evidently not made nearly enough progress, and I am committed to making sure that we are thinking about why are the hosts only finding out about Airbnbs at the last minute? Why are religious institutions that are community centres, that are important to our community, especially to folks in the African-American community, how should we have intentionally involved you, and how can we do better in the future? And I will do my best to try. Aye.
Wheeler.
I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Is there any further discussion on the resolution as amended? Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
A lot of hard work went into this now amended resolution. I think it strikes the right balance. Earlier on, I kind of identified what I thought were the sort of wings of the debate and the center of the debate. We do our best work, I think, sometimes between the 40-yard lines. And we certainly do our best work when we listen to all of our stakeholders. So appreciate the hearing and appreciate all the staff work that's gone on to this. And I think this has been both a collaborative process, and it's also been a learning experience. Aye.
Saltzman?
I appreciate all the work that's gone into this, all the participation we've had. And I will support the resolution, but I want to state once again my misgiving. I fundamentally think we are allowing too much time to make changes that will save lives in a major seismic event. It's postponing the day of reckoning for two reasons. One, first, we're going to do the committee process again, and I'm not sure the committee is going to achieve any more consensus than the last one achieved, judging by the first hearing we had on this. And secondly, I don't believe implementation of life safety standards should be subject, absolutely, to the ability to pay for it. That's not government's role. Our role is to make sure that our citizens are safe, our residents are safe. And so I fundamentally disagree with that principle. And I don't think that's what the mayor or anybody of my colleagues are really intending, but I think that's the bottom line where we're going to end up with. We're going to convene a new committee. We're going to take another run at the legislature. And we won't necessarily come up with any more resources. Then what? So we're just going to turn a blind eye to the major seismic threats that face this area. And I know that, as I said earlier, a day after a major event happens, you won't have committee. You won't have time for public comment because we'll be here adopting ordinances. Well, I won't be here. But we will be here adopting ordinances right and left in light of the tragedy, because none of us are going to stand up in front of a destroyed building and say, well, we need a committee. We don't have a way to pay for it. We need more time. We'll be doing those things lightning speed. So I hope those who participate in this committee participate with the knowledge that you got to figure something out. And I hope our legislature, the city council, federal government will step up with the resources to do it. But if they don't, it's our job to make sure that lives are saved. So as I said, I'm going to support this, and I appreciate the support for the building placarding and the tenant notification. But I do worry that we are not being aggressive enough. Aye.
You daily.
First, I want to thank everyone for being here today and for sharing your candid and deservedly harsh words. As was mentioned, this process was initiated by a previous council and led by PBEM. I want to point out that BDS provided structural expertise and thank staff member for that, but I can't not mention how disappointed I am by the lack of public engagement in this process, especially with churches and nonprofits who stand to bear extraordinary financial hardship. My office began questioning the lack of financial analysis around URMs last year. And we raised the issue of churches and nonprofits in January. And unfortunately, our inquiries went largely unanswered. So I share some of your frustrations and certainly your concerns. But like Commissioner Fritz, I feel that I should have known better. And I want to thank you for coming and pointing out this failure to us. And I hope that moving forward, we're all committed to doing a better job around public engagement. We certainly should not be creating more hardship to the African American community. And so I'm particularly interested in coming up with solutions for churches and nonprofits. Now to my planned remarks. You know, this is a really thorny issue. We can't do nothing. We can't keep kicking it down the road. It's one thing to make a decision for yourself or your individual family. It's another thing to be responsible for dozens or hundreds of people who are inside your building. And yet another thing for council as a body to be responsible for over 600,000 people in the city. It's This is probably one of the hardest conversations that we've had since I've been in office. So I remain hopeful that we can come to some kind of amicable agreement sooner than later that is going to protect lives of our residents as well as keep our streets clear in order for emergency vehicles to make their way through the city and get to people that desperately need their help. As I said before, I don't think this issue needs more technical analysis. It needs financial analysis. And again, want to thank the mayor for agreeing with me on that. If we get the financing tools right, we could come together as a community to address this problem. My sense is that we may need another tool, perhaps a property tax credit, which obviously isn't going to help most of the people in this room with their concerns, but we've mostly heard from private owners, so this is addressing their concerns. That tax credit could help owners make a down payment on getting the work done to add to our existing property fit loan product and property tax abatement. While I'm going to vote yes on this item today, I want to be clear that I will not support it going forward, any new requirements going forward, until we know how everyone is going to afford these retrofits. And the questions that remain for me are how many city-owned buildings will be subject to the new policy, how much do we believe it will cost to bring them into compliance, do we have a timeline and financing strategy to make upgrades required by the new policy? Same questions for city-financed affordable housing, the school district, and other government-owned buildings. We also need to know how many faith-based and other nonprofit-owned buildings will be affected and whether there are technical or financial supports available to this group of owners beyond property fit. I'd love to have a rubric that disaggregates URMs by ownership class and identifies compliance costs associated with each class, as well as available tools to assist each class of owners come into compliance. Some people are going to have it easier than others, and we need to sort those out. So I'm hungry and tired, and I can't believe I just got through all that because I'm starting, my vision is starting to blur. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Daly. I appreciate everything you just said and concur with it all. I want to start by thanking Jonna Papaefemiu, which I can say because I've been practicing since she was working for Mayor Sam Adams. She has worked on this for a very, very long time and sticking to it. And I think I know that this takes us one step further forward. It does not take us to mandates that without the financing options. And so I appreciate Mayor Wheeler that it's very difficult to take up what a previous commissioner has started and put your own brand on it and also continue to move things forward. So this does move things forward, and no mayor that I've worked with so far has been able to really move things forward. So thank you very much for that. It has been building for a very long time, and we do need to continue working on it together. I have heard from all of us, we care about safety. Obviously, we care about our own safety. We care about the people who are coming into the buildings that we frequent. And so we've got to be able to figure out how to fix them. I have said all along that I would not support something that requires private property owners to do what the city will not do for itself. And in many ways, the city is in the same position as the nonprofits and the churches. Property tax measures aren't going to help us. A lot of the proposed financing is not going to help the city of Portland. So I appreciate my colleagues accepting my amendment that we will come to council with a plan for financing the city-owned Class 1 and Class 2 within a year. I will reflect that I asked for $500,000 in this budget that we just passed to start looking at which parks, how much is it going to cost to fix up the parks buildings, and it was only funded at a level of $350,000, and that doesn't do very much of an assessment of all of the buildings, many of which are in parks. And so I respect, Commissioner, that you're not going to be here when we are actually having that report and figuring out, oh my goodness, this is going to make fixing sidewalks and fixing the ADA ramps pale into insignificance, because we do need our community centres to be up and running in when the big one hits, and how are we going to pay for that? We do need our churches to be up and running when the big one hits. How are we going to pay for that? And so I, again, stress the urgency for these ongoing committees. How are we going to pay for it needs to be just as much front and center as what should it be. And so I thank everybody for all of us working together to move it forward. And again, thanks to everybody who's contributed in big or small ways. This is going to make a difference. We just have to keep working at it. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody who testified over a period of several meetings. We are moving forward, and we're moving forward very deliberately. I'd like to be able to blame the geologists for this. It was great when we just had old buildings and we lived in the bliss with the lack of knowledge. But the truth is, we now know that we are in a seismic zone, that it's an active seismic zone. And although big seismic events don't happen very frequently, it's undeniable that they do happen. And there are statistical models that show that potentially within our lifetime, maybe not my lifetime, but certainly my daughter's lifetime, one of those seismic events could indeed happen here. And we have now been forewarned. And what Commissioner Saltzman has said around life safety rings true with me. And I want to be very clear about that. I heard a number of people testify today who said the same thing, that the life safety imperative rings true with them as well. That being said, we're moving forward on Tier 1. We are moving forward on Tier 2. We are strengthening the existing code, which was somewhat vague and nebulous around parapets, chimneys, and cornices, and the like. I think we made the right decision to pass the amendments that give us further consideration around financial incentives matched to increase seismic retrofit mandates. The amount of time that we're asking for is a year. That, in the scheme of things, I don't think is too big of a sacrifice. These buildings have been around, some of them, for over 100 years, and waiting one more year to make sure that we've covered the issues, that we have informed the community, that we have brought the community along around pragmatic solutions to this. It is worth the very minuscule risk that by delaying this for 1 year, we will actually put people in life safety danger. It is a very small statistical possibility, although it is a real possibility, and I just want to address that. I want to thank Elizabeth Perez from my office. She is somebody who is brought into the city as a Hatfield Fellow. She excelled immediately in our office. And rather than having her do something that might have been easier, we immediately put her on this. And I believe my last words were, good luck. And she's actually done a really excellent job. And I want to thank her for that. And I want to thank her for working with me throughout for what has been a very fluid process as far as my engagement and my understanding of this issue. The office, the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management, did a terrific job being responsive to this issue. And I particularly want to thank Jana Papaefthimiou. And I want to thank former director, Carmen Merlo. They worked very, very tirelessly on this issue with their team. I want to thank the Bureau of Development Services, particularly Amit Kumar. Thank you to Prosper Portland, particularly Shelley Hack. Members of the technical committee who we've heard from extensively, who gave a tremendous amount of their time and their energy to this issue and informed this issue in such an important way. I want to thank each and every one of them personally for their contribution to this effort. I want to thank members of the support committee likewise, as well as members of the policy committee, particularly committee chair Margaret Mahoney, who did a fantastic job of keeping all the ducks in a row. And lastly, I just want to thank everybody who testified. You've been vital to the process. As many people have noted, this is an incredibly difficult, thorny issue with very real trade-offs. But we have moved forward anyway. And as I feel pretty much at the end of every Wednesday, I feel proud to be the mayor of this committee. And we are up to this challenge. We will have much work ahead, but we're going to do it together. And that makes me very hopeful for the future. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended. Colleagues, each of your offices have been polled. We will adjourn until 2:30 p.m. We will take up the remainder of this agenda. It's mostly second readings, but not exclusively, in the afternoon. And then we'll get to our afternoon agenda starting at 2:30. We are adjourned.